on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
It's Bob Simpson on Phoenix FM, and regular listeners will know that every week I play a song for Daphne. Well, we're about to find out all about Daphne, because I'm honoured to have been invited into Daphne's front room, and we're going to talk about Daphne, her life, times past, and Christmases, and all that kind of thing. That's right, isn't it, Daphne?
If we can get that far, yes.
Yes, we will. How are you?
All right.
Good, I'm glad to hear it. Now, you've lived in and around Billericay, Brentwood all of your life, really, haven't you? Apart from one little spell outside, I think?
One or two little spells outside. I was born in Southend.
Okay.
Southend Hospital. And soon after that, we moved to Hutton, Alpha Road. And soon after that, we moved to Mount Nessing, which was Rosemary Cottages. It was... One cottage was Rose and one was Mary, but that's how they were spoken about.
Right.
Right opposite the windmill.
Okay.
The road to the windmill. And when I was 4 years and probably 11 months, we then moved to Shenfield. And I stayed in Shenfield with my parents until I was 23.
Right.
And that was in 1958 when I got married. I can remember several different bits and pieces. I can remember playing in different gardens, but I can't actually specify whether it was Mount Nessing or whether it was Shenfield.
Okay. And you're currently living in Billericay, so you're very much a local girl, aren't you?
Yes, I've lived here for 65 years.
In Billericay, yeah.
In Billericay, yeah. When I got married, we lived with my mother-in-law. Uh-huh. And fortunately we got on well, and we were with her for 8 years.
Right. Well, let's talk about your childhood to start with, because you must have been growing up during wartime, the Second World War, is that right?
Oh yeah, not half.
So what are your memories of life in the local area during the war as a child?
When the war was... when the air raid siren went, because having moved to Shenfield at that age, when I was five, the Easter, I started school.
Yeah.
Shenfield St Mary's. And if there was an air raid, and it wasn't lunchtime, we got sent home.
Oh.
The thing is, parents don't know. Well, as it happens, I travelled backwards and forwards on my own anyway. But we had, coming away from school, we had to cross a major road. But, of course, they were nothing like they are now.
Right.
And it was the old A12.
Okay.
One particular day I was coming home and I'm looking up at the sky. And there's a couple of aeroplanes chasing one another. I didn't know because I wasn't old enough to understand. But it was one of ours and one of theirs. And our one was... having a go at the one, at the Jerry one.
Right.
I suppose it was ignorance. Mm. I wasn't scared.
Okay.
And I went, crossed another big road to get to Priest Lane, to get home. And as I'm walking up Priest Lane, there's a woman came to her door and she called me. And she said... You can't go home in... Oh, no, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. She said, you can't be wandering about in this, you know. Mm. You better come in and stop for a little while. Well, just imagine what would happen these days
if people
ask you to do that.
Yeah.
But I went in, and as soon as it was fairly deep to go, you know... I said, well, Mum will be wondering where I am, you know. And, I mean, she'd given me a drink and...
Yeah.
They, you know, it was really as if I'd known them all my life.
Okay.
Yeah. Got no fear of anybody. And they were good. I went home and everything was okay at home. Another time when I came home, the same sort of journey, but there was a house before that one.
Mm-hmm.
The woman came out. And I went, she asked me in as well. And when I left, she said, you've been very quiet. I thought, yeah, well, I don't know what to talk about.
You're a bit overwhelmed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But she gave me a present when I left.
Oh.
And it was a huge great duck egg.
Oh, wow.
And you didn't see many of those in those. I didn't see anything of it after it got home, I might tell you.
That disappeared, did it? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But, you know, it was the kindness of people who don't know, seeing a kid floating about.
Yeah.
Not understanding, basically, what's going on.
Yeah.
And the people around there then, they were all... You spoke to everybody.
Yeah.
Now hardly anybody speaks to.
Mm.
But I can remember distinctly one day, where we lived in Shenfield, there was nothing beyond us but two allotments on our side of the road.
Right.
And it went down the other side of the road with four houses, and as you look straight down you could see Shenfield station from our back, our house, the door at the side of the house.
Okay.
And that was where my dad was working at. Well, he worked at Southend and then Shenfield. And one particular night, we went out on that doorstep and we were looking. Well, he took me to look, and there were lots of pretty white flares coming down all along the railway line.
Oh.
Well, again, I wasn't frightened. I hadn't got a clue. That was a Jerry plane up there marking a line for a bombing attack somewhere, and I don't know, it wasn't Shenfield Station, that was sure.
Okay.
But they had to follow the railway lines.
Okay, yeah.
So they lit up the railway lines, and I can remember standing there holding Dad's hand and telling him how pretty they looked.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't enlighten me, fortunately.
No. What about bomb damage locally around you? Was there anything like that?
Well, we had a doodlebug come down middle of the night one particular time, and it was more or less halfway between Shenfield Station and where we lived.
Right.
But it was across the other side of the road to Shenfield Station. If I came with you or you came with me, I could show you whereabouts it was. It's all houses now, but there was nothing down there, and it brought all our ceilings down.
Oh, dear.
All the windows out.
Oh.
And quite a lot of other damage. Aftershock.
Okay.
I don't know how to put it.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
It was where the bomb had come, doodlebug had come down and exploded. We'd got a clear shot from our house right the way across, because there weren't any houses much in Friars Avenue at the time.
Mm.
That was the only time I knew my dad to sound as if he panicked, because
right.
My grandparents were staying with us, and it was my mum's parents. Nana turned, called down and said, "I'm coming down." And my father shot from one room to the bottom of the stairs. "Don't come down. Stay where you are. Don't move."
Right.
The landing is full of glass where she walks about, or she used to, sorry, with nothing on her feet.
Right. So she used to walk bare feet indoors.
She used to...
Yeah.
She couldn't get to shops to get things for herself to fit properly, and you couldn't get stuff like you can now.
No, of course not. In wartime, was it? Yeah.
There wasn't a lot about, but you certainly couldn't phone and ask for a delivery sort of thing.
No.
So she'd go about that way. Well, I didn't know my dad cared that much for my grandmother. But, you know, it showed the way he moved and yelled at her not to come down. As the stairs went up to a small landing and then turned and went up another three stairs, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, I wouldn't blame him for being scared, really. The blooming great doodlebug coming down. It must have been pretty close to your house as well.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was very far away.
Yeah.
Blimey. We were fortunate because that I had my young, I had a young brother at the time. He was about 3 months old.
Mm.
I was what, about nine? No, oh, I don't know. I can't remember. I'll work it out and tell you another time.
All right, that's fine.
And Mum and Dad and I slept in the same room with Malcolm, my brother,
yeah,
in his cot. But that night, we were sleeping in the sitting room downstairs.
Mm.
And I wouldn't have had him as the brother if we hadn't have been, because his cot was absolutely packed with ceiling rubbish, oh, where the ceiling, yeah, had come down up there. And I don't think he, you know, the, from what I saw and remember of it, I don't think he could have lived through that.
No, no, no.
But he was in his pram downstairs.
Yeah, very lucky, yeah. So, all this devastation, how was it cleared up and repaired, and how long did it take? Do you know? Can you remember?
Well, I don't remember any of it ever... I don't remember it being done.
Right. Hmm.
But all of a sudden, we got windows in and... probably about the same day. It was rented accommodation anyway.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The mess that everything it made in there, and the amount of posh houses that probably had a lot of the same sort of damage,
yeah,
I would have thought they would have got first dibs at the best people, you know.
Right.
But how many others on our road were rented, I don't know, but I think a lot of them were.
Yeah.
But not all the same landlord, of course.
Okay, yeah. So what about wartime Christmases? What do you remember about those? I mean, what did you get for your Christmas dinner? Food was scarce then, wasn't it?
Well, we... The bottom of our garden, right across the bottom of our garden, we had a chicken run.
Okay.
And in the chicken run, we also had... two lots of rabbit hutches.
Okay.
And we didn't do too bad for that.
Sounds like it, yeah. Did you give them names?
probably at the time, yes. And I was totally ignorant to the fact that one of these days one of our rabbits had disappeared and we had rabbit for dinner.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But as I did get a bit older... and it wasn't very old, I might tell you.
Mm.
Dad had one of the rabbits that was slaughtered, and he took the innards out,
oh,
and gave it to me and said, right, take the skin off.
Oh.
And I did.
Well done, yeah. What were your thoughts about that then?
All I was concentrating on is not hurting it,
oh,
to be honest.
Oh, bless you.
But I was pulling the legs out as gently as I could so it didn't get hurt. The things you can remember.
Yeah. And what about presents during the war? Did you get a PlayStation?
yeah, the front room.
Yeah, right, yeah. Good one, yeah.
But or the back garden.
What sort of treats did you get?
I know we always had a good Christmas dinner.
Right.
And we always had plenty of veg, but my dad's had an allotment then up beyond the end of our road, by the side of the railway lines.
Mm.
I could point it out to you if we had a train ride and
okay,
show you where
right,
that was.
Yeah.
But it was... not, you didn't expect it. You didn't expect a lot of things. You know, I didn't know how the other half lived, to
okay,
be quite honest.
Yeah.
But the fact that we'd got a full stomach and a homemade Christmas cake and Christmas puddings and stuff, you know, that was good
that was
enough
a treat
for me.
In itself,
you know,
yeah. So you didn't get a Christmas stocking or anything like that, or
I don't remember me having one.
No.
But when my two brothers were, well, Malcolm must have been five and Brian must have been three.
Yeah.
one Christmas, my dad's dad, he was not a very happy man.
Oh.
But he came to stay with us over Christmas, so he had my bedroom.
Okay.
So I was in a single bed and the two boys were in a double bed. Well, we had our own way of doing the... Oh, it was my idea, actually, doing the Christmas things for the boys. We'd give them each a different pillowcase.
Okay.
So that they could hang it at the end of the bed themselves.
Right.
And when they were asleep, I whipped that one away and put the identical one that was for Malcolm with his bits and pieces in.
Right.
His the bed, and same for Brian the other side, and I had to tuck the other pillowcases out of the way. Otherwise, you try putting toys or something into a pillowcase children.
Yeah. Oh, you had it all worked out then, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and, yeah, I was 12 or 13 then, I think.
Okay, so you were the big sis, were you?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I'd only just got to bed, it was about 2 in the morning, and all of a sudden there's Brian saying, I wonder if he's been yet.
yeah.
And,
what about Christmas decorations? Did you put any decorations up?
Yeah, we had paper chains and things. We did decorate, and we always had a good tree. And I'll tell you what, I learnt one thing with my mum.
Right.
We didn't put all silly things on the tree. We had sweets on the tree.
Okay, yeah.
we used to get Mars bars and... Well, any sort of sweets that we could get as the boys got bigger, because once Brian was born in 1946, so from then on there wasn't a war anyway.
Right,
finished in 1945,
yeah.
Didn't it? So we could get a few more things. Then we used to get a load of licorice comfits. Do you remember them?
No.
They're sugar-coated licorice.
Okay.
And they look like a very tiny sausage.
Okay.
Well, we used to get a load of those and a load of dolly mixtures. I don't suppose you remember those either.
I remember dolly mixtures,
And you couldn't get cling film then.
No, of course not.
But you had cellophane paper that you could get. So I had the job of counting out the sweets to go in each of the papers and rolling it up and making it into like see-through crackers.
So they went on the
tree, as well as all the chocolate stuff that we had that didn't take much looking after.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to stop you there for a minute, because we're going to have some music now.
Are we? That's good.
Well, I've asked you to think about some of your favourite Christmas songs. Can you think of one you'd like to hear now?
I think probably, first of all, it would be Jingle Bells.
Oh, okay. By anyone in particular, or just...
If I had to name any of the artists for any of the songs I like, I couldn't do it.
Okay.
That is in your kit. In your
All court. Right. Well, you leave that to me. Let's hear Jingle Bells.
Right.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
1960s, where I'm guessing you would have been sort of a teenager and into your 20s and grown up, really. So,
well, I was 15,
right,
in 1950.
Okay.
After school after Easter, and immediately after Easter, I started work.
Okay, what did you start work as?
Much to my father's disappointment, he wanted me to be a secretary of some sort somewhere, so I had to learn, and I couldn't learn typing and the other bits. I didn't want to learn. I told him I wanted to go to Silo's. Silo's was a film factory.
Okay.
I don't know how I got to know about it, but it was in Worley and in Woodman Road. It's a big factory, and one half of it was the roll film. That speaks for itself, because they did the films that went in the cameras. We were the elite, the other end.
Oh, yeah. What were you
we were in the flat film. And it's all, you know, you're working with film in the dark.
Okay.
Well, when I first started, I went into the portrait room, where I met my friend Ivy. She was the first one to ask me if I knew where, what the procedure was at lunchtime and all the rest of it. And she said, follow me and I'll show you the ropes. So that was all right. Well, I was actually doing the worst possible thing I could do. That's writing down what the different people in there had examined, what size film they'd examined. It's difficult to tell anybody who hasn't seen it, but it was like in front of you, you had an eight inch square with a pinkish light behind it.
Right.
Because the portrait room, they dealt with different sort of film and different sort of colouring. Mm. And they coated all the film in this factory, and we had to look, or the others had to look for flaws.
Okay, yeah.
So any size they had, they had to pass it across the front of the screen in front of them and then look at the surface of it.
Right. And you're doing this in the pitch black, are you?
Well, once you get used to it, it's not too bad. You can see that there are other bodies in there.
Right.
It's a bit like I am now, where I've lost most of my eyesight.
Right.
You know, you couldn't really differentiate too easily, although it was a lot easier than it would be now.
Okay.
But I was writing down what they did. Well, my writing was the worst thing that they could have given me to do, because even my score records said good work spoilt by bad handwriting.
Don't worry, I've got a few comments like that on my score reports.
Always had it, but I think it was a total different disappointment to Miss Willett, because she wanted it to be right.
Right. But
it still isn't right, and now, of course, it's even harder to write, but so I was in there for a little while, and then they moved me to the dental room, where there were machines to work. It would be very difficult to try and explain how it worked.
Okay.
Because I'd get totally tripped up with my tongue with that.
But what was the dental room then? What was that?
We made the packs that the dentist shoving your chops.
Oh, okay.
To
do an X-ray.
X-ray your teeth.
Okay,
and it's
got
all
it.
all X-ray material,
right.
Sort of thing.
So that was work. What about home life at that time?
Well, we had Mum not particularly well. Mm. The daft part about it is she had heart problems right from the time she had Malcolm, which was in 1944.
Mm.
And when she died at 95.
Oh, goodness me. Right. So
she was alive, but she wasn't living the last few years of her life.
Very
not
well,
to
no.
my
no.
not to my life.
Okay.
But it was one of those things. But you know, it was nice in the dental room, and I met somebody who actually ended up being a friend after she'd left and had a baby, and I found out that I was going out with her cousin.
Oh, okay, right.
And she was the best thing that could have happened to me. Glad was absolutely absolutely dream to be with.
Ah, lovely, yeah.
She was a lovely, she was a friend as, she always greeted everybody who came in, and this past year she would have been 100, only she died the year before, unfortunately.
I know, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, so, now at some point in this period, you met a man and got married. How did that happen?
Very romantic, actually.
Oh.
Well, I wasn't expecting it. I used a cycle to work, and Jim used to be on a motorbike,
right.
And he lived in Billericay. So, of course, it was further for him to go. And very often he passed me on the way going to work, and he often passed me on the way coming back from work.
Right.
I always knew it was him, but one day he more or less followed me until I turned off, and then he went. I don't know whether he was going to talk to me then or not, but a few days later, as we came down Priest Lane, he passed me, and he turned into Woodway, which is the turning I have to go to Gordon Road.
Right.
And when I turned into Woodway, there he was standing with his bike. And I think the only thing that made him stop was that I didn't have bad ankles in those days, and I didn't wear trousers all the time.
Saucy.
So we were talking, and he asked me if I'd got a boyfriend, but I said no. I had up until about 2 months before,
right.
But I gave up on him because he lived too far away.
Okay.
So he said, do you fancy going out with me? Well, I was 22 at the time, so I thought, well, nobody else has asked me. So I said, yes, when do you suggest? He said, what about tonight?
Mm.
You know, and it ended up, he came back that evening, and we went actually in Shenfield.
Okay.
And when we walked in the door, he said, will you hang on here a minute? There's somebody over there I've got to speak to.
Okay. Right.
When he came back, this is a, bear in mind, this is our first
date yeah.
we had.
Yeah.
When he came back, he said, that is my brother-in-law and his brother, of all people to be there. He said, I've had to tell him not to tell Wynne, his wife, Jim's sister, that he was going out with, or you've seen, with me.
Okay.
Simply because it was our first date and he didn't know whether it was going anywhere,
yeah, okay.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, Jack was a lovely bloke, actually, so he didn't tell Wynne, because right. Wynne would have broadcast it all over the place.
Oh, you didn't need the internet in those days then? So.
No, oh no, no. And she worked on the telephone exchange.
Oh, well.
In Brentwood.
All of Brentwood would have known.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
So,
So, romance blossomed and eventually you got married.
Yeah, we were married about 11 months later.
Okay.
Well, it was his suggestion.
Right.
Going home one day in September, he said, I think it's time we got married, don't you?
Okay.
Well, my idea was that there was no chance of any hanky-panky with us in those days. His mother was always home of a night, and my mum and the kids were always in mine, you know, and that would was be frowned upon. Anything hand-holding or anything.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
We sorted out and got the date for... Well, I tried to get all the different ones we needed. I upset one of his aunts because I asked the uncle to come and not...
Oh.
I was only told the uncle's name. I didn't know there was an aunt as well. But of course, they both came.
Yeah.
Lots of sorting out beforehand. My mother made the bridesmaids' dresses, and she went everywhere looking with me for a dress for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we got one in the end.
I suppose this was the late 50s, was it?
58. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How easy was it to get hold of stuff for things like wedding dresses and all that? Had the sort of the effect of the war gone away a bit?
Well, it was more a case of what could be afforded.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
I mean, they were nothing like the price they are now.
No.
And I think mine was lovely, although... Yeah. The silver stripes in, I wished had been gold, because gold is my favourite colour. So
okay.
We got along all right. As I said, when we got married, we lived with my mother-in-law. We rather forced the issue, really, because one night when I was round at his house for the evening, it was planned, obviously.
Mm.
I said to him, we've got to sort out which one we're going to see first, whether we're going to see Dorry with the flat and see what space she's got for, you know, for us two to move in, or are we going to Taffy, who was one of his mates? He was the electrician at work.
Right.
He'd got five children, I think.
Oh, wow.
And his wife, obviously. Oh, I don't know what size house they have. I'd never been there. I don't know whether Jim had, but anyway, it was went all right. You know, I was talking to Jim, not to his mum.
Yeah.
I went off upstairs, and she wanted to know what it was all about. He said, "Well, we've got to find somewhere to live when we're married, and you don't want another son staying here with you. You know, so we've got to find somewhere."
Yeah.
And she, of course, she knew Taffy. She said, "Well, I'm not having you go and stop with Taffy and all those children. What happens if you start off with them yourself?" So, and she said, "I don't know anything about the woman, but if she's in a flat, there won't be a lot of room, so I suppose you'd better come here."
Yeah, so the ruse worked then.
It worked.
Yeah, well done.
But we got on.
Yeah,
her
good.
And I got on.
Good.
And she did most of the work.
Right.
Well, I was out at work anyway, but right. Till I had my son. I had him 5 years after we were married.
Right.
And we'd had a bit of a time of it, and I came indoors with him for the first time to my mother-in-law's. And she said, "Let's hope nothing happens to this one." And I said, "Nothing can happen to him.
Right.
My mum's first and your seventh grandchild."
Right.
So, where it came from, I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it in those terms. But
So we're now in the early 1960s, I would say. Yeah,
63.
Okay, yeah. And Christmases again. What was Christmas like in the 60s for you?
I had Paul. I got a tree that I love. I've still got it, but it's one that comes apart, and it's the stem and the base is separated from the branches, and I can't get it together.
Oh, dear.
I've got to get into a built-in wardrobe, which in the past was very easy, but not so easy now, because I've got a 5-drawer chest of drawers in front of it with a load of stuff.
Oh, dear. Well, you can't see what you're doing very well either.
No, yeah. No. So,
well, you'd had a son and daughter by the early to mid-60s, I think?
Yeah, 66 my daughter was born.
Right, yeah. So, Christmas is with the children then. What do you remember about that? Had things moved on a bit since wartime with presents and food and all that?
Yes, I mean, when Alison was born, that was in 66, we were very lucky because we got this... the house we live in, I still live in, and it was a 3-bedroomed house straight off. I wasn't expecting that. I went up and told them about having had another child. From that, she was saying, you picked the right time, because we've taken all the prefabs out from the main road, and we're built a new 3-bedroom estate, 3 or 4-bedroom estate down there.
Yeah.
And without blinking, I just said, oh, that's fine, I'll have one of those. And, oh, the poor woman, she didn't know where to look. I mean, I didn't mean it, because I know that there are so many people wanting to get into these houses.
Right.
She said she was awfully sorry, but they'd got all the ones in flats to give them to first, and I said, don't worry, I was only joking.
Right.
And I think that could have helped, actually, because we did get
one. You got one. Excellent. Yeah.
And this was built on the same site as one of the prefabs, and that particular prefab used to be Jim's brother's home.
Okay.
So.
Must have been a great feeling walking into your own home and shutting the door behind you.
It was lovely. I can remember walking in for the first time. I brought Alison in the pram, and I think Paul was probably sitting on the end of the pram. And it was a long old push up the path, but went through and in through the... what they classed as a shed then, the side door. The floor in the kitchen was absolute, well, everywhere was pristine, but this was a black floor with all different colours, tiny colours over that, that shone.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to walk on it. And now I got the key at the beginning of the month, but we didn't move in until the 28th of May, which is pretty quick after Alison's birthday in February. I had a lot of stuff, which Jim didn't actually approve of at the time, but he did tell me it was good that I kept doing it. I kept getting things I wanted or knew we would want in a house that would get pushed back. You wouldn't be able to always get what you wanted at the right time.
Right.
Fortunately, my mother-in-law had 2 big cupboards, one in the kitchen and one in the sitting room, which met with a wall, but they had a lot of room behind the stairs.
Right.
And I used to keep the stuff in there. I'd got the bottom of the pram loaded with different bits and pieces, and 2 children in the pram, or one walking by the side of it, and keep bringing bits and pieces down. Mind you, the first thing I brought down was a kettle and tea bags and some dried milk, so that I didn't have to worry about wanting a drink.
What about Christmases generally around that time? What do you remember about them? You didn't have to go out in the garden and grab a rabbit, did you?
No, that didn't happen.
No. So you had a shop-bought turkey or something, did you?
No, I didn't ever buy turkey. Okay. I always bought chicken.
Okay, yeah.
Chicken and... usually a big lump of lamb or or beef. Well, more likely to be beef, chicken and beef. Just went, you know, sort of had a good Christmas dinner. I think we invariably had it just four of us. Jimmy's mother used to go to her twin sister. So, you know, she was happy enough to do that. One night, one week, I think I'd started work again by then. I was all behind with doing up the kids' presents. And I was sitting on my bedroom floor at 2 o'clock in the morning, finishing off the last of them. 2 o'clock in the morning rings some nasty bells for me.
Yeah, I've done some of that in my time, for the children, after they've gone to bed. And
you can't do it when they're about. No. You can't tell them to keep out of the way and while I went upstairs. Bound to want something. But...
Well, that's lovely. I think we ought to have some more music, don't you? Can you?
Well, I think it's probably easier to get the have the music than...
You're doing very well. So?
White Christmas, Bing Crosby.
It's an absolute classic. And, you know, for many years, that was the top-selling song in the entire world. I think it's been overtaken now, but let's hear it.
Right. Okay.
To the 70s, right up till now, and quite a lot has happened in that time, I imagine. Your children were growing up and went off to have families of their own.
Yep.
So tell us all about them.
My son got married and he went to live in St. Osef. I think they got married the year she finished university, I think, the year before she finished university. And then they had another year where they were living together and getting used to one another up in Guildford.
Okay.
Then they came down and upset her dad a bit because she was pregnant.
Oh, why did that upset him then?
Because he thought Paul should have known better. Well, she was trainee nurse.
Okay.
But I'm glad they did have that because he's lovely.
Yeah.
And he's left me.
Yeah, he lives far away now, doesn't he?
Yeah, lives in Australia.
Yeah.
But I wish him all the best of everything in the world because he deserves it.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I spent a lot of Christmases with Alison and her family, and it got to the stage as I've got ancient that I couldn't stand being cold, and I shouldn't have been cold because there was plenty of stuff going on to keep me warm, but I couldn't move about enough.
No.
But they always played games before, during and after Christmas dinner.
Right.
And they're very loud.
And it was all a bit much, was it,
and
for you?
My head couldn't take it. Yeah. So
I don't think you're on your own there, you know. I've heard of quite a few people, as they get older, they don't want all that and would prefer...
Well, the thing, what really crowned it was all the different things they asked, I couldn't answer.
Okay.
I couldn't watch television and... couldn't see to write things down, and you know, it was just not that I didn't want to be with them, but I wanted them to
tone it down a bit.
And of course they were going into television programs and all sorts of different questions for the quizzes and that, and I couldn't answer any of them.
No.
And you feel really left out when you get all of a sudden one of them yelling out practically before the question's asked.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with modern radio, modern music.
No.
The modern radio music.
Neither can I. No. But, I mean, going back a bit to when, you know, you were able to see and they were probably a bit younger, did they all descend on you at Christmas time or did you go to them?
With Alison and her family, I always went to them because it's what she wanted.
Yeah.
I have had different ones here round about then.
Yeah.
My two brothers have got their own families and... they all have places to go and people to see and other people to please, you know.
And you've got quite a Christmas list you have to fulfil now. You've got grandchildren as well, haven't you?
Yes.
Tell us about them.
Oh, I've got four beautiful granddaughters.
Yeah.
The first one is Elisa. She's my son's eldest and she's an absolute dream.
Mm-hmm.
She's... Usually when she goes to work, she sends me a message now on the mobile.
Yeah.
And I usually answer it fairly quickly, which puts a problem for her because I don't stop talking when I start.
No, I can't believe that. You're about the easiest interview I've ever done. I'll just start you off and you just carry on. It's really good.
You're a diamond, you are.
Oh, yeah.
I love you to pieces,
know,
I'll tell you that much.
I love you to pieces too, so there you go.
But I have her sister, who is 15 months younger than her, who is Holly, and she works in National Health, but she has had bad health all her life.
Oh, dear.
She's got cystic fibrosis.
Okay.
And she's had some pretty rough times.
And you got another two granddaughters?
My other two, my daughter's two daughters. Harriet I'm so glad she's called Harriet, because that was my grandmother's name.
Oh, nice.
And Alison didn't know that.
Right.
When she called, it wasn't because she called her after my grandmother, but my grandmother must have
fed the information through
from the stars, you know.
Lovely.
But Harriet is absolutely gorgeous, and she keeps in touch with me, and it's she'll come in and she's always bright and breezy.
Lovely.
She's got a high powered job. Ooh. And there's an awful lot of I can't remember exactly what it's in, but it is a job that's mostly done in London.
Okay.
And she's also made herself another job, which is her own work, and that is sorting out if anyone wants holidays.
Oh, okay. It's a travel agency.
So if she loses the main job, she's got something to fall back on.
Very good. Yeah.
And Amelia, well, Harriet is 27 and Amelia is 23.
Right.
And she's the younger one. And she's also got a high powered job. Mm. And she was very lucky with this one. And she works in London as well. So at one time they used to go by train together, but now Harriet's got her own home.
Okay.
She lives in Wickford, so she goes on the different line to the Chelmsford one.
Yeah, and fairly local to you. So.
Both local.
Yeah, very good.
But both of them, you know, they are all... Oh, I think they're stunners, myself. I think they're absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
But, they're good, and they keep in touch with me.
Well, I can see where they get it from, if they're absolutely stunning. So, well done.
Oh, no, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Don't be like that. I know I'm as ugly as sin.
No, you're not. You're gorgeous. Stop it. Stop arguing with me.
Yes, sir. I believe anything you say at any time.
I'm sure. So, finally, then, you've lived in Billericay for something like 65 years.
Yep.
What's it been like as a place to live?
Well, it was always lovely when I could go myself and go shopping.
Yeah,
and
you
go
can't get out much now, can you? That's the trouble. No. But
my legs are not strong enough to hold the body. There's something wrong either with my brain or my legs, as you know. To your cost.
I'm saying nothing.
To your cost. Yeah. But, of course.
But it's been a good place to live over the years, has it,
yes,
for you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm quite happy with my next-door neighbour. When he feels in the right frame of mind, he might come and see me, and but I don't see him often enough.
You always have to have a little dig, don't you?
Of course. If I don't, you wouldn't think it was me.
No, that's right.
But,
love you all the same, though. So
and I love you too.
But well, Daphne, thank you so much for talking to me, and of course, I'm going to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And
we do a repeat of last year?
Oh, we're not going to tell them about that, are we? I can't even remember what happened last year. What happened last year?
After dinner, you came in here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It must have been all the alcohol you fed me. It's gone from
my
brain.
No, you were feeding
now.
Yourself, oh, and okay. I think you got a bit fed up because I was only going slow on it.
I will be popping in to see you at some point on Christmas Day, but I don't know when yet. So there we are. That would be nice, and I would enjoy that. And you've got some Disaronno to sample, haven't you? So
I've got to
give that a try. Anyway, like I was just saying, thank you so much for talking to me, and I'm sure all our listeners would join me in wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed for the same thing.
Good for you.
And it'll be happy if you do, Tom and
Turner.
All right. I know you can cut that out.
Am I allowed to identify you by your full name?
Well, I don't care.
All right, then. It's Daphne Norris.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was Daphne Jones.
Now, there's one final song that you've chosen for us, and it's quite a modern one, relatively speaking, isn't it? Tell us about this one.
Oh, well, it makes a lot of noise, and it's the sort of thing that you really like, the racket that goes on with all your music.
I think it's quite a gentle one, actually, but yeah.
But I can't remember the title of it, because I never can remember the titles.
Never mind, yeah.
But you should remember, so...
Okay, can't remember who it's by?
No, I don't... Because I can't see it written down.
No, okay.
I can't get it into the brain enough.
All right. You whispered in my ear you'd like Last Christmas
That's
by
right.
Wham. Yeah?
That's right.
Okay, well, we'll sign off with Last Christmas and Wham. And once again, Daphne, thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Give us a kiss.